Let's start a podcast about our mental health. For no good reason why, let's call it Mindcake.
Buongiorno, everybody, and welcome to another slice of Mindcake.
Mindcake?
With him?
Lee Crompton. And him?
Paolo Bisones.
Oh, Jesus. Right, we're not even given our proper names now. Even that's got to be foreign.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm tired, but I'm good. I'm good.
Are you tired because of rug action? Or are you tired because of running? Or a combination of the two?
A combination therein, thereof.
What is your biggest rug of the week? Does that need a jingle? Biggest rug of the week.
Paul Beeson's rug of the week.
Mm. What's been your favourite?
I've only delivered one rug this week.
Jeez.
I know.
Is business not good?
No, business is booming, actually. But I've started rehearsal for a new play, so I'm kind of, that's taken up my time.
You have?
I have, yes. But... So I delivered a rug tonight before I came on air with you.
So that is your rug of the week?
That is my rug. That's Paul Beeson's rug of the week.
Oh, tune in next week, folks, where we'll find out what other...
I didn't even tell you what the rug was like.
No.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
It was big, I tell you that. I had to carry it up a couple of flights of stairs in a lovely flat in Stockbridge. But it was bloody big.
What people do want to know, they don't want to know about rugs. What they do want to know is, what camp character are you playing in this manifestation of your career?
This current character is far from camp, actually. This character is a man called Robert Moore.
Okay. What does he do?
He was in the Gestapo.
He doesn't sound very German.
M-O-H-R. Moore.
Oh, as in Monocle Moore.
Yeah. Sure.
Where the bees are.
Yes.
Or Oran Moore in Glasgow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Where they've got the big halo around the...
Yeah, they're in the
around
thing.
The whatnot. Around the thing, yeah. Is that German, is it? Moore?
Well, this guy's German, so...
Mm. And he's a Nazi.
He is. He's a very important Nazi. Well, you know, to the Nazis. He was one of their... top interrogators.
So this is based on a true story?
It is. It's based on the story of a girl called Sophie Scholl. So the play's called Storm Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never heard of Sophie Scholl, you could either come and see the show when it's on and learn about her, or you could give her a little Google because she's got a fascinating story. Without going into too much detail, she and her brother were arrested at university because they were distributing anti-Nazi propaganda.
Oh.
And Robert Moore, who I play in the play, was a Gestapo officer who interrogated them over a couple of days.
I see.
To try and get to the bottom of the White Rose, which was their sort of underground resistance movement.
All right, okay. Yeah. I mean, this is all very interesting, but because it's such a serious subject, I don't feel like I take the piss out of it, which is kind of... left me with very little to say on the subject.
Yeah.
Other than people should obviously go and watch it. Where is it showing on, Paul?
It's on at the Traverse Theatre in Edinburgh.
Oh, that's a lovely theatre.
It is a lovely theatre, yeah. I'm very excited to be performing there. I've never done a show at the Trav before.
So when's that start?
It's only for 3 nights because we're doing a short tour and the tour culminates with 3 nights at the Trav. So it is I should really have looked this up, shouldn't I? Is it the 4th, 5th and 6th? The 4th, 5th and 6th of June.
Right.
I want to say.
If you say so. I don't know.
4th, 5th and 6th of June.
Oh, I'm busy those days.
Oh, that's a shame.
Mm.
You won't be sitting at the back of the audience going, come on, everybody.
Come on, everybody. I mean, I don't suppose you could even say whether he's a good Nazi or I'm assuming he's a bad Nazi.
Well, I mean, by default, he's pretty bad.
What, because he's a Nazi?
Yeah. But the challenge of playing a character like that is not making him like a cartoon villain or just like a sort of stereotypical evil Nazi, because he was a human being. He there are layers to him as a person. So it's trying to find those little moments of humanity, even though he was doing something quite despicable.
He's like a German onion.
Yeah, or a cake.
Please tell me that you have to do a German accent.
No.
Oh, if he now said
that,
yes.
That would just totally distract everybody from the message of the play, wouldn't it? If
I can hear the theme tune of Hello, Hello in the background.
Like Lieutenant Gruber.
Yeah, yeah.
With my little tank.
Yes, yes, with your little tank. See, that's what you should be playing. I might come along just to go, hang on a minute. Why are you not playing? Why are you not doing the come on everybody voice?
Or why aren't you being Officer Crabtree?
Why aren't you being Officer Crabtree? Or what was his name? Lieutenant
Gruber.
Yeah.
I think it was Gruber, wasn't it?
Mm. The camp
his
little.
His little tank, yeah. the one who was in love with Renee.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Him.
He had his little tank.
Yeah, he would be brilliant as him.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
But anyway, this is a completely different show.
Yes. Yeah, back to what we do in Mind Cake. That's right. Mental health stuff in that.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're doing. You have started your 50 miles in May.
For Maggie's cancer. That's right. I have.
Yes. Why again did you say that in the style of a pirate?
I don't know. Did I?
Maggie's cancer. How's that going?
It's going okay. I'm about 9 miles in. Mm-hmm. So I'm you know, just under a fifth of the way in. The difficulty isn't actually getting out and running, which has always been a bit of a block to me in the past, is that I've been motivated enough to go out and do it. It's actually finding the time. I've been mm-hmm. so busy the last few days that I've not been out as much as I would like. So over the weekend and early next week, I'm going to have to smash the running, sort of try to get out every day for, you know, 4 days in a row to try and get back to where I need to be.
But talking of smashing it,
mm-hmm.
you have smashed your target.
My monetary target. That's yes. Right. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. If there's anybody out there listening who has sponsored me, thank you so much.
Anyone who's out there listening at all, to be fair, thank you.
Thank you so much.
But especially if you sponsored Paul as well.
Yeah, so I just set myself a little target of 150, and I'm up to about 240, 250, something like that. So yeah, smashed it by a good amount, and I won't let you down.
Only 8 days into May, 250 quid.
Yeah.
I'll do.
Yeah.
So this week, it's appropriate that because you're doing your run for Maggie's, that we should have Debbie from Maggie's on Debbie. To tell us all about her work at Maggie's in Glasgow. So take it away, Debbie. Hello, Mind Cakers, and welcome to another edition where this week we'll be talking to the lovely Debbie Cook. Hello, Debbie.
Hello.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
Debbie, do you want to tell everybody what it is you do? And, well, I suppose, because it's very niche, would you say it was mm-hmm. niche?
I would niche, yeah, a kind of speciality field of psychology, I suppose. Uh-huh. So I'm one of the psychologists in Maggie's, and I work in the centre in Glasgow in the grounds of Garton Naval Hospital just next to the beach. And I've been here 12 years and 1 month now.
12 years and 1 month, that's very precise.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a Maggie's birthday reminder, so that's the only reason I know.
Very nice gardens. I know the centre obviously very well, and I know you very well from our time together when I was when I was first diagnosed. So it was a lovely centre there, lovely gardens.
Very nice. Very lucky to work in a place like this compared to when you work in other settings and you might be trying to offer someone talking therapy and there's a GP bed next to you or a box of syringes. So yeah. Nice comfy seats and a cup of tea as well.
It's very welcoming, and you get a free chocky bicky.
Always.
Yeah,
it does look very serene in the background, actually, Debbie. You can kind of see out the back of your window there. It's very green and calming, and it looks like a nice place to get that kind of treatment and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's really nice is the centre in Gartnavel, although we are literally right in the middle of the hospital grounds, it hopefully doesn't feel like that at all. It feels, you know, there's only a few areas you can see the kind of real hospital buildings, so it can feel like a nice place of escape. And we have lovely gardens. We're lucky enough that the gardens in this centre were designed by Maggie's daughter Lily, so
That's right,
there's
yeah.
a nice connection there.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
I think I said to you before, Debbie, that I always found that if I'd been to the Beetson, well, sometimes if you know, if I was driving past, I always came in and had a cup of tea and a chin wag and whoever was around, and it always felt like a safe space. I suppose before we go any further, we should maybe, for those who don't know, because I must admit, before obviously my life took me in a certain direction, I didn't know, I'd never heard of Maggie's. So maybe, yeah. Debbie, if you wouldn't mind, maybe before we go into what you do and how you came to do it, do you want to talk a bit about what Maggie's is and what they do?
Yeah. So Maggie's is a charity. We provide emotional, social and practical support to people and their relatives diagnosed with cancer. We are all paid professional experts, so you know that you're in safe hands when you come in. And really, you make use of Maggie's in a way that's going to be helpful for you. For some people, that might be coming in and speaking to the different members of staff. So we have cancer support specialists who come from a clinical background that you don't need an appointment to speak to them. We have benefits advisors as well who help people navigate the minefield that is the benefits system. And we have a relaxation therapist in Glasgow, and we have psychologists in the centre as well. So we have lots of different classes. So some people might come in and make use of the classes, but also, like you said, Lee, it might be that the clinics are running late, or you're just driving by, or you're just having a day where you think, I'm just a bit cabin fever, I'm just not feeling right, and you don't need an appointment, you just come in. And if you don't want to speak to one of us, there's no offence taken. You can just get a cuppa and sit and look at the gardens or eat a chalky bicky.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing. I shamefully said this before, that to start with, I hadn't heard of Maggie's. And then when I had heard of Maggie's, I assumed it was lots of lovely people like yourself sat round on cushions going, oh, that must be terrible. That was kind of, you know, because what do people do? Well, in actual fact, you know, like you say, I'd help with benefits, with, you know, drawing up wills. I think I came to some yoga classes, I went to nutrition classes, obviously came and saw yourself, some psychology. So, I mean, I found it a real lifesaver, but, and I cannot, you know, I wish I was doing the Maggie's 50. As we mentioned in the last episode, Paul will be running the Maggie's 50. So it was timely that we got you on. But yeah, it was a real lifesaver for me. And I can't thank the people at Maggie's enough, including yourself. So thank you. And that's why I was so keen to get you on. So do you want to talk a bit about how you... Because I suppose it's one thing going into psychology, it's another thing then going, well, I want to do that with Maggie's.
Yeah, I mean, so when I was doing my doctorate, I did my research into kind of cognitive behavioural therapy for people with physical health problems. So that was kind of always my area. And, you know, I suppose I could even go back and think why that happened. And it was always... You know, I think I was always curious why some people could be told by like their GP, oh, your sore back's because of stress. So there was always that kind of, I couldn't quite understand that. So that's what led me down that path kind of with regards to my research. One of my lecturers in the doctorate was actually the first psychologist in Maggie's Glasgow.
Oh, really?
When we were down, in the Gatehouse in Dumbarton Road. So that's where the Glasgow Centre used to be based when the Beetson was there.
Sorry, which so I just have to say, which is now where I work. I literally, my office is right next to the office on Dumbarton Road, because we're doing we're doing the new university campus. And I can't, it's slightly ironic, but yeah, I'm literally right next to... It's in the Maggie Centre there. So that was the original office, was it, before you opened up?
So that was the original centre. So
mm-hmm.
the second Maggie Centre ever, the first one being in Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And so the second centre was set up there next to the Beetson, but then the Beetson moved to Gartnavel. And the whole idea of Maggie's is that we're on site next to the hospital that people are getting treatment. So that's when this centre that I'm sitting in just now was built And so we still have still a Maggie's building, but it tends to be more kind of office based staff that are in the gatehouse. Yeah.
Paul, have you been to a Maggie Centre?
I haven't actually, no. I've kind of been, I suppose, lucky enough, touch wood, so far that I've not had to sort of had to go
We
for whatever
we
reason.
should maybe have a visit because like I said they are very relaxing. They are one of a kind. It's a very kind of special place. And I know that, you know, again, I think it was during lockdown, Debbie, you used to do like meditation, like video meditation, walking around the gardens.
Yeah, that took me out my comfort zone doing things live and lived out my fantasy as an influencer.
But I used to often tune into those and just do a bit of meditation as you walk around the garden. And because, like I say, forget that all this was when, as a client facing, but as a patient facing organization, all of a sudden nobody could come in.
I think we technically only closed our doors maybe for 3 weeks, and then we were quite fortunate enough that we kind of fell under a lot of the guidance that we could remain open, kind of following all kind of like, you know, safe, you know, physical distancing, all of that. So we did remain open throughout the pandemic. That meant when relatives were maybe sitting in the car park, you know, because they couldn't go into hospitals, understandably so, they could come up and they could use a loo, even if it was just as much as that. And it was, but if you've never been in, Paul, especially if you're running 50 miles for us, then you know you can come in and say hello.
I think that would be a good idea, wouldn't it? Yeah, actually come and see where the money's kind of going and
You said there's one
not
in
just.
Edinburgh.
That was the first one.
Well, where's that in Edinburgh then? Because Paul's based in, are you Queens? What do you class that as, Paul? Queensferry?
No, Fife. I'm in Dalgety Bay.
There's one in Fife as well.
So
There
I
you
can
go.
go, I can take my pick.
Well, what you need to do, I would suggest, is plan your route so that halfway round you could pop in, have a cup of tea, chocky bicky, and then carry
Then
on.
run
You could
back.
then run back. You could have like a break.
Oh, it could depend. I mean, if it's what if it's like 50 miles away? Yeah, that's
All
it.
I'm saying
Get a
is
taxi home.
it's worth a Google Maps just to see where it is and
Okay.
see if you can plug it on your route. Because the other thing that Paul does as well, I don't know if you know this, Debbie, but Paul likes, have you heard of this like run art? So you can
Oh,
run
and you
like
may
a
try and make a picture in your
yeah,
maps.
don't ask him what his picture is, that's for another time. But he does, you know, you could maybe plot that into your route, round
Yeah,
five.
I am actually going to try and draw
Something else?
more pictures, less phallic pictures this
If
time
you would,
around.
if you wouldn't mind, that would be tremendous. Yeah.
Trying to,
Yeah. Well, this
expand my portfolio.
first time he's met Debbie as well. Jeez-o. Right. So back on message, Debbie. So how did you know, because as I said earlier, I'm not saying that any lane of psychology is any easier or harder than the others, but the fact that you are presumably 100% dealing with people who have been diagnosed with cancer or families of people who have been diagnosed with cancer, and sometimes, dare I say, hello, terminal cancer. That's surely you've got to have a certain amount of, I mean, I can't imagine doing that on a daily basis. And so I suppose there's two questions. How did you get into that? And then secondly, how do you, I suppose, cope? How do you cope with your mental health? And switch off, you know, and because that's a tough gig.
So, well, how I got to Maggie's was one of the lecturers on my doctorate was the first psychologist at the Gatehouse, and he always spoke so highly of it. And so you do a bit of research, and then just so happened as I was kind of qualifying, the job at Maggie's came up, and the more I researched it, I have never prepared for a job interview so much in my entire life.
Really?
You know, it just seemed to kind of tick all the boxes. I suppose my style of practice as a psychologist, as a professional, it seemed to fit with that. So I suppose, you know, I won't say that I didn't have the same concerns. You know, what would it be like to kind of work with people who had a cancer diagnosis day in, day out? But I suppose once you get in here, you know, even as staff, we still benefit from the environment. You know, we get that therapeutic effect as well. A lot of us who come to what we call the program, so who deliver the program of support, so the psychologists, the cancer support specialists, the benefits advisors, we tend to hang about in Maggie's. You know, there's not an awful lot of us that kind of move on. And I suppose a bit like people who have a diagnosis, you know, we use a bit of black humour as staff as well. You know, we are all very close. We're a small team. We get on. We offer a lot of support. So, you know, if you've had quite a challenging or upsetting session, the first port of call is you go and have a chat with one of your colleagues, you know, because if I'm sitting here asking other people to talk about it with the idea that talking helps, then, you know, you get that as well. And I suppose how I switch off is there's nothing like a bit of car karaoke on the way home to kind
of
get
yeah. What's your go-to tune?
Oh, probably a bit of Journey.
Bit of Journey.
Yeah.
Paul loves a bit of Journey.
Yeah. Apparently, Don't Stop Believing is the what was it, just recently voted like the biggest song of all time or something.
Really?
I can well believe
yeah.
it.
I thought Debbie was about to burst into song right now. Just her face lit up. I mean, that never came up in our conversations that, do you know what? Something you should maybe think about, Lee, is when you're driving home, stick on a bit of Journey and just belt it out.
I mean, is it evidence-based? I'm not sure, but...
Look, like so as me and Paul have said, if it works for some people, we've got all sorts of people on the podcast, and you know, it might work for some people, it might not work for other people. And if singing Journey at the top of your voice, Don't Stop Believing, works for you, then who's to say otherwise?
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's something to be said for like an 80s power ballad getting belted out in a car,
hand
though.
Grab. Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship. That
it's
kind
very
of thing.
Uplifting, very uplifting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can see people in their rear view mirrors kind of sometimes going, what's that woman doing behind?
Yeah, sing like nobody's watching. Absolutely. Or listening.
Have you got a good singing voice, Debbie? Would you say? I mean, have you done karaoke?
No, don't ask me to do karaoke, like real karaoke. There's no way. No.
No. Paul's apparently got a good singing voice.
Yeah, but I'm with Debbie on this. Karaoke is just nasty.
For the like, people listening or for the people doing it?
Well, for both. So, certainly from my point of view, I hate doing it. And I hate when you're somewhere and everybody's like, come on, get up and sing a song. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it.
Takes me right back to my childhood of the good old Lanarkshire. You know, everybody has to do a turn at Christmas. Mm-hmm. No, I can feel my heart rate rising thinking about it.
But then growing up in Edinburgh, like we didn't do that kind of stuff because everybody's too reserved to take a turn at Christmas or whatever. So, you know, it's even more traumatizing when you're not used to it. But no, I'm totally with you on that.
But it's interesting what you said about your, not anxiety. Well, I suppose, yes, anxiety, in that the thought of you doing, you know, your live meditation sessions from the garden, you would find that, you know, even having listened to everything you've listened to and all your training and all your background, as Dr. Jan would say, psychologists get anxious too, but it's just, that was your idea of hell.
So I think there's something about context, you know, like, so I will happily sit and deliver a relaxation session in Maggie's, and okay, maybe when I started as it, but still a new psychologist or to a new job, the anxiety is more about wanting to do a good job. But this was very much like completely new, perhaps more on kind of social anxiety. I remember doing it for the first time and I'd be like, okay, go live. Oh no, I can't. Right, go live. No, I can't. You know, and trying to breathe. But, you know, very much by the end of those, you know, I'd be like, oh, I'm meant to be live on Facebook, grab the phone, you know, quick, go. And then, but like, so sometimes if we do a fundraising event, and so if the centre head, Kerry, she can't do the thank you, sometimes I'm asked to do that for her. And I could deliver a kind of training session on like cancer related cognitive changes to 50 people, no bother, but ask me to do a thank you to 50 people in Maggie's and my heart's going like the clappers, and you know, so there's something about your comfort zone then, I think, as well.
Because I suppose it's all relative, regardless of who you are.
Yeah.
Do you ever get nervous going on stage, Paul? I know we're going off at a slight tangent here, as I want, but Paul's an actor. Do you ever get nervous sort of on set or going on stage in front of people?
On stage, probably more so, because if you mess it up, that's kind of it. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Whereas like if you're doing something, if you're filming something, if you mess it up,
you can do another take.
You can do another take, or as many takes as it takes. So I'm always a bit more, I don't know, confident, I suppose, just a bit more chilled out filming But yes, but then saying that, the nerves and the adrenaline's usually a good thing as well, though. Like, that helps you. And then once you kind of get into the swing of doing it. I mean, for example, Shark in the Park, this kid show that I do, I've done it over 250 times now. And I don't want to say I'm ever phoning a performance in, because I'm not. I'm a consummate professional. But I don't get nervous about that at all, because I can do it standing on my head.
Debbie, he's contractually obliged to mention Shark in the Park on every episode, so that we've got that out of the way now. And the
tour was seamless as well. I don't think anybody noticed.
It was very good. It was one of your better ones, to be fair.
Yeah.
So talking of, like you were saying about pressing the button, is there anything that you would do, like breathing exercises, or dare I say, obviously you can't do cold water therapy, but is there anything that you do other than singing Don't Stop Believing at the top of your voice that you find particularly helps?
In kind of like short-term kind of moments?
Yeah, if you would, I suppose short-term, if you were, so I suppose breathing, I mean, I have to say that we're going to have to get somebody on about breathing, I think, because I actually have done some of the, not sort of the Wim Hof stuff, but some of the stuff that you can get like on, is it Insight Timer or whatever? And you actually do, if you do it for a, like that, it can actually be get you quite lightheaded.
Yeah, because you're hyperventilating.
I guess. When you say it like that, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Just a few, that's it.
Uh-huh. Don't do it for 20 minutes.
No, you don't need that many deep breaths. Unless you're free driving, I suppose, that's they deliberately hyperventilate so they don't feel the need to breathe. But
my free diving days are over, Debbie.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. So anything, do you go for a run, any cold water therapy, any sort of cycling? What is there anything that you do?
Oh yeah, I do. I go on my exercise bike. Probably could be more diligent when it comes to that. I like to take my dad's dog a walk. Mm-hmm. These are all very kind of cliched, but I suppose even just for me, I suppose working in Maggie's, it really is important that not every night is kind of going home and, you know, putting the washing on,
zenning
having
it,
dinner, and then, you know, doing that. So I suppose even more recently, if this is going to sound really daft, and I'm not even really sure that it's relevant, but instead of maybe just going out for dinner on like a weekend, you know, focus, you know, started doing a little bit more activity. Mm-hmm. So my husband and I will maybe go to like play social darts, or we'll go to mini golf. And I suppose there's, when you're in that, whether it's because of competitiveness, you're not really thinking about all the other stuff. You know, it's mindful without design to be. So rather than just kind of just sitting and having lunch and then going home.
But even doing stuff like that, that's just something that's social as well, is quite good for your mental health, because, you know, coming out of the pandemic, there's been a lot of people that have struggled to kind of get back into just kind of being social again and being around people again. And, you know, if people are suffering a bit, that can seem quite daunting. Do you know what I mean? Like sort of being forced, well, I guess, you know, being forced into these kind of social environments. So just doing like activity-based stuff is a good way to be social and around people without thinking that the focus is on you to try and be social. It's like, you know, like a sort of different spin on it, I suppose.
Being with people, next to people, you don't need to be going out and investing too much energy and being social. It's,
Yeah, we had Gary on last week talking about Shed, which again I'd never heard of before. I didn't realise it was a thing, but again he does a lot of work with us at where I work, and one of the things that he says is actually having that group around you that you can go out and socialise with, or just ring up or talk to or do whatever. But it, like you say, it's not necessarily just talking. Not all the time has to be mental health related, but just going out and shooting the breeze, or like you say, playing pool or darts or whatever, and just, I think there's a lot to be said for that. And like you said, Paul, is getting back into that now that, you know, we're, I'll say, back to normal. I mean, I don't know what normal was really, but back to pre-pandemic restrictions. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. Is there anything, Debbie, you would like to say about Maggie's or what you do before we wrap up?
I think perhaps that sometimes people have this idea that we're like a hospice setting, or, you know, mm-hmm. you're only going to be confronted with, you know, a lot of sadness, or it's going to be too much. But I suppose you'll know, Lee, that when you come in, there can often be a lot of busyness. There can be a lot of hustle and bustle. There can even be a bit of hilarity that goes on. So
yep.
I suppose it would be, you know, would encourage people to just come in and just see it, and to, it's maybe not what you think.
And well, I think, that, yeah, I think we should add that to Paul's homework list. He has a list of things, and just Paul goes and visits a Maggie Centre and just pops in for a cuppa. And
yeah, well, there's one in Kirkcaldy, so it's just up the road.
There you go.
Yeah, so I'll be popping in there at some point in between rug deliveries.
Right, but you're absolutely right in that, like you say, my perception of Maggie's was, even as someone who's been diagnosed with cancer, was completely different to the reality, and the reality genuinely changed my life. At your lowest ebb, and you've got people around, you've got that serenity, and you've got people around you who kind of get it, and that's when a lot of people don't. You know, I would say 99% of the population is once. It's one thing saying, you know, it's very difficult, I think, to put yourself in that position. As much as you go, oh, it must be awful. You don't. Nobody really knows what it's like. You can imagine what it's like, but then, you know, in Maggie's, you feel like you're in a place where you're understood and you're seen and you're heard, and it's just a magnificent place. So I cannot say thank you enough. Although that said, I'm not doing the Maggie's 50 next month, but I will be back at some point. But Debbie, that has been wonderful to talk to you and see you again. I will pop in myself at some point and say hello and have a coffee. And
well, maybe we should pop in together in person and have a cup of tea with Debbie.
Maybe that we should do that. Yeah,
and
then, let's do
and,
that
and record round two.
We could.
Yeah, we'd love to do that.
Okay.
Get a bit of Journey in the background. I'm sure we can get the rights.
Yes. We're not getting in without it.
No. Thank you so much, Debbie, for giving up your time. Lovely to see you, and take care. And we'll drop in for a coffee soon.
Don't stop believing, Debbie.
Don't stop believing, Never. Debbie. See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was Debbie from Maggie's. And I have to say that, as hopefully came across whilst talking to her, that, yes, obviously I hold Maggie's in very high esteem, which is why you have pulled on your trainers, and why I say we, I'm not doing it this time, but why you are running.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's so much important work that gets done at Maggie's, like Debbie was talking about just there. And they were so good to you. You know, just that my personal connection, and I, not just you, but I do know other people that have had support from Maggie's, over the years for stuff. So it's a cause that I hold dear to my heart as well. So I'm more
Very
than happy
so.
To
Very much
go on
so.
The trainers for them.
What I would say from what I've seen is you've been very, very poor in your run art though so far.
Yeah, well.
As in it's been non-existent.
It has been non-existent. So my first run was just basically a straight line, because I just thought I'll go out for a little one just to make sure that I'm, you know, not going to die when I'm out running.
Yep.
And then the second time I went out, I, about 4 miles into the run, felt a twinge in my back. And rather than being a brave little soldier and carrying on, I thought I better just stop and walk
it's
back
probably
home.
Wise.
Yeah, you know, if I've got another 40 miles to run, I don't want to risk injury. And also rehearsing the show and stuff, like I need to, you know, be able to move and stuff. So
nobody wants to see a Nazi with a bad back.
No. So
an incapacitated Nazi.
Yeah. Or I don't know, maybe I could have worked that into my character.
You could have a cane.
Yeah. Like
and shuffle in.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Hair Flick from the Gestapo.
We've got to really cam these Alo Alo references down, don't we? This is going to turn into an Alo Alo fan podcast.
Is it not already?
It kind of is already, isn't it? Nobody has said... Oh, no, one person, my pal Marlene, did say...
Marlene?
That's an Only Fools and Horses podcast now. And Marlene said, like, where's the Bobby? And I was like, oh, it's... coming soon, FNAR. But
Jesus,
I was hoping people would kind of bite and go, well, where's all the phallic shapes?
Where's the cock?
And I would say, well, I'll tell you what, if you haven't sponsored me, throw me a bit more money and I'll draw one for you. But
I think
nobody's bitten yet.
No, nobody's bitten the cock. No. I think I could speak for many people when I say I've thought it. But I've kind of assumed for want of a better expression, it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
It's only a matter of time until you can't resist any longer than draw a rude picture.
Yeah. So what else has been happening? What's been going on in your life, mate?
Well, I'm still tired, but I've had more blood tests, and I have been, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I actually feel more energized if I go for a run. So although I don't have any energy to go for a run, if I force myself to go for a run, I do feel better for a period of time. So I've been
doing the couch to 5K.
I am, and I've now finished week 5.
Woo woo.
Which I thought I wasn't going to do, because the run 3 of week 5 is running for 20 minutes non-stop, which is a big leap from, I think, the longest I've gone is like 8.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, so I'm about to start week 6, I think.
How was Center Parks?
Center Parks was awesome, but tiring. Mm-hmm. We Aaron had, well, everybody did, but in particular, We Aaron had the time of her life.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes, without any kind of sarcasm, I can honestly say that, yeah, it was, we made some happy memories at Center Parks, and everyone had a ball.
Sweet.
I did an amazing quiz, even though I say so myself.
What, because you ran a quiz or took part in it?
Oh,
quiz?
Yeah. No. I ran. I'm the quizzy rascal. So I have a summer house in the back garden, which when it was just me and Gemma, we converted into, the royal we, converted into basically a pub. And then children came along and it got filled with junk.
Bloody
but yeah, so we used to have lots of, in the Devil's Pulpit, had a pub sign outside the Devil's Pulpit. And used to have a lot of quizzes in there. But it was Gemma's mum and dad's 50th wedding anniversary. So I did a lot of golden quiz questions. Yeah, we had a little quiz and a few bottles of Prosecco.
Lovely. Could you give us a couple of quiz examples, please?
Well, there was a round on, so pictures of people who were born in 1974. And you had to guess, obviously, write down who they were.
You were born in 1974, right?
No.
73?
Yes. So I wasn't one of the pictures.
Can you imagine?
There was another round on, so prices, average price, the prices for a newspaper, pint of milk, house, car, stamp, that sort of thing. You had to, had to guess the price of these items in 1974. What else did we have? We had a before or after. Do I should do? I should go and get it. Do you want me to get it? We could do that now.
Okay, quickly.
Right, hang on.
Run like the wind.
I can't obviously do the pictures. The only thing is, I think I've given somebody the answers.
Oh.
Yeah, I haven't got the answers, so I can't remember which 10.
Well, that's okay.
But we can kind of, I can probably guess.
This is the best kind of quiz where
you
can't be wrong because there's no set answer.
Okay, 10 of these came after 1974.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just going to have to guess. I'm not going to count 10. You're just going to have to guess yes or no. Pac-Man.
Oh, after.
I think that's correct. Super glue.
Before.
Microwave oven.
Before.
The Godfather, the film.
Before?
I think it was after.
Was it? It's like 75 or something.
Star Wars.
After.
Correct. Cell phones.
After.
Sliced bread.
Before.
The Simpsons.
After.
Rihanna.
After.
The microchip.
Before.
Disneyland Paris.
After.
Kim Kardashian.
After.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Ooh. Before.
I think it was after.
Ah.
Barbie.
Before.
The Euro.
After.
Electric guitar.
Before.
Will Smith.
Oh, now how old is Will Smith? I'm going to say before, just.
I think he was before. Hula Hoops, the crisps.
Oh. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Before.
I think they were 1975. Hula Hoop, the toy.
Before.
GPS.
After.
Mm-hmm. So I can't really, I mean, that's the worst quiz because I can't really confirm or deny the answers. But there's that sort of thing that we did. And then I did, oh, you know what, we can't do it because we're not allowed to play music. But I basically did 10 songs that had an association with the word gold.
Spandau Ballet.
You'd be right in saying, because that's exactly what everyone said when I said there's going to be a, yeah, that was one of the songs, yes.
Goldfinger, Shirley Bassey.
Goldfinger, Shirley Bassey was one of them, yes.
Gold by Prince?
No.
Oh. But it's not just titles and stuff. It's like, it could be a song that just mentions the word gold.
No, no, it's in the title.
Oh, it's in the title.
Mm.
Well, that's, what have we got, three there?
Mm. But you haven't heard them. I mean, I do play the songs.
All right. The Man with the Golden Gun?
No, it's not a song.
Was there not a theme song that went with that film?
He's got a hell of a weapon. Charges a million a shot. Lovely. What was that song called?
I don't know.
Is it called The Man with the Golden Gun?
I don't know.
It wasn't. Do you want me to tell you what they were? Yeah. I haven't got them, but I'll have to try and remember them. Unless I've got them here. Quiz. Let me see. The Man with the Golden Gun. Well, I already had two Bond themes in there. Do you want to? Shall I give the title of the song? You give the artist.
Okay. Well, you know that's at least we can.
At least it
do
gives
that.
Some kind of jeopardy. Goldfinger,
Shirley Bassey,
Band of Gold,
Frida Payne,
Gold,
Spandau Ballet,
Silence is Golden.
Oh, now that was. Silence is Golden. I can hear the song. Pass. I don't know.
The Tremolos.
I was going to say the Tremolos.
Yes, that's what Isabel says when I always ask her a question. I was going to say that.
I know. I was thinking the Tremolos. Okay.
Fields of Gold.
Sting.
Heart of Gold.
Heart of Gold. Heart of Glass.
Heart of Gold. Do you hear the song?
No, I don't know if I do actually. Heart of Gold.
With a heart of gold.
No.
Neil Young.
Oh, I'm not really. I wouldn't say I'm not a Neil Young fan because
it's
I don't
quite
like
depressing,
him.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
I
haven't really got into him. That's all. Yeah.
Number 7 caused a bit of controversy.
All right.
Because it was to make it happy and never let it slip away.
Oh, there's two versions of that, isn't there? There's the undercover version from the 90s. Were they called Undercover?
The song is called Never Let It Slip Away. One team had that, but didn't write it down because they go, there's no gold in Never Let It Slip Away. Mm. But it was sung by
Goldie Golderson.
Yes. No. Mr. Gold, Andrew Gold was the artiste.
Do you know, I found a mixtape in the house, like when I was a kid, like it was a tape that my mum had. I don't know who, if she'd made it herself or whatever, but that song was on it.
Never Let It Slip Away.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so I do know the original version, but yeah, because it was on this random tape, I couldn't have
Andrew
ever told
Gold.
You. Andrew Gold.
Golden Brown.
Stranglers.
Good as Gold.
I can't think what the song is.
No, it's weird because I don't think it's actually ever mentioned in the song. You'd know the song.
Okay.
But it doesn't actually ever mention as good as it's the Beautiful South.
Oh, right. Okay.
And GoldenEye.
Oh, Tina Turner.
Big Tina.
The Big T.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. So after that round, what I did, you see, was I put together, whilst the songs were playing, montages of photos of the last 50 years and sort of family memories and things.
The fall of the Berlin Wall.
No.
Oh, not news events, like sort of personal.
Yeah.
Event. Okay.
Yeah, no, just family things. Why would I put the fall of Berlin? Oh, look, yeah, there's the...
Because it was a big event in the last 50 years.
Never let it slip away. Oh, look, there's the wall coming down. Oh, yeah, I remember that. No, it was just family photographs, Paul. Jesus Christ. Your family parties must be fun.
They're very topical.
Come on, everybody. Gather around the television. I've done a quiz. And then what I did was I got people from all over the world, mate.
Oh, really, mate?
So friends and family from corners of the globe? Corners of the globe to video a question from 1974. And then, so we had all these people like, you know, phoning in with a question from Sao Paulo or Vancouver or the Isle of Man. And yeah, not a dry eye in the house.
Aww.
But now I feel bad that I didn't put the falling of the Berlin Wall down.
Well, you'll know the next time you do a quiz.
Mm.
Lee Crompton is available for quizzes.
I am. I love doing a quiz.
You can contact us at sliceofmindcake@gmail.com.
Oh, hang on a minute. And you know what else I did?
What did you do?
For a colleague at work who was on a hen do, put together a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, did you? Yeah, That's old school.
Yeah, put all like canned laughter over. So she'd videoed the groom answering these questions, and I put in like canned laughter over the top and did a voiceover. Yes, so question number one, et cetera, et cetera. I know that's your kind of bag, isn't it? So I don't want to...
No, listen, I'm happy to share the narration duties.
Is there a lot of work in that?
Well, if you can get a good one. You could be like, what was the guy on Blind Date? Graham, was it R. Graham?
R. Graham. Yeah, he's not done too much lately, though, has he, Graham?
No, but he doesn't have to. Set for life, mate.
Do you think that's... You just get one good gig and that's... I'm conscious that this bolognese is still bubbling away and nobody's tended to it.
Now, so listeners, you can't see what's happening here, but Lee Crompton is now wandering through his house holding his phone and microphone.
It looks like the fucking Blair Witch Project.
It does.
Right, but turn that off. Give that a stir. Can you hear that bubbling, folks?
No. Get the mic closer.
It's almost in the bollock maze. Oh, that smells good, folks.
Are you having a late tea, or is this for tomorrow's tea?
No, I think it's for tomorrow.
It always tastes better the next day, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's sort of sat in its own juices. For 24 hours.
Oh. Everything tastes better when it's been sat in its own juices, Paul. Ugh. So I've just sat back down.
You're right.
No, I'm exhausted. I've had to drive all around. I can't be bothered putting the Isabel Erin to bed. She's still being a bit of a... So I was trying to drive all the way to Vaseline and back. We've had a look at looking at the submarines and all around Helen's.
Did they fall asleep in the car?
7:50, she eventually fell asleep.
Because you sent me a little voice note, and right at the end, you went, "What are you doing out of bed?"
Oh, that was Isabel.
I assumed that wasn't aimed at me. So, yeah.
No. You can go to bed whenever you like.
I know I can.
I'm not the boss of you, unfortunately.
Or are you?
No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
That's Gail's job.
Yeah, she ain't the boss of me.
She is.
She is.
Right, anything else you want to talk about before we sign off, Paul?
Nah, because I don't really have much to say tonight.
Just been rehearsing and being German.
Yeah.
And rugging it up.
Rugging like it's 1999. Right up. I've been rugging and running, and I'm going to try. I will keep you updated. I know everybody out there is really interested in my ruggy business.
I didn't think that was what you were going to say. I thought you were going to say they're really interested in your running. I don't think they're as interested in your rugs.
Shall we do some housekeeping?
Paul Beeson's housekeeping. Oh, how very, very lovely.
So you can email us at sliceofmindcake@gmail.com.
Have we had any emails?
Not recently.
No. I haven't even checked. Have you checked?
I checked the other day. We've had some more emails relating to potential guests.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Wait, to be fair, we've got We've got a few guests lined. Well, we've recorded a few guests already.
Yeah. So after this episode, whenever this one goes out tomorrow, we've got three in the bag, don't we?
Three in the bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should maybe talk more about that next time.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, mate. Right.
You're off to bed.
I am going to bed. Yeah, I feel I do apologise, listeners. I feel this has been a little bit lackluster, but I'm absolutely done in.
That's all right.
As are you.
Yep. And I'm sure there's people out there listening who are done in as well.
Just so, want us to shut up.
We're all in it together.
Mm-hmm. Absolute mon.
All right. See yous.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Let's start a podcast about our mental health. For no good reason why, let's call it Fine Cake.
Let's start a podcast. I never said that.
Well, it was inferred.
That's
wasn't it?
You. That's you making those connections.
I know. No. It's just funny things that go
Lee
on.
Lee Crompton's dirty connections.
That's a whole other podcast all on its own.
Before you know it, it'll explode all over social media.
Mm-hmm. Dear. Sorry, Debbie. I don't know whether I should edit that out. I just, Maggie's and Debbie were so nice, and then you just talked about
just edit it out. That's the beauty of this.
Good times.
Yeah, it's not bad, isn't it? Better than a kick in the stones. Make sure you edit this bit out, though, right?
Yeah, no, keep this in. It's good. Well, I'll just stick it on the end. Oh, I'm so tired.
I know, me too.